This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Get our Red Eye Radio app, put it on your phone, because our show is our podcast and our podcast is our show, so you can listen whenever you want. All right, you ready for this audio cut?
All right.
This one, sort of completely and totally off the topic, made you go, what's up here? And this is Representative Scott Perry asking the Secretary Blinken questions about Hunter Biden, because when he asks him if he's been interviewed by the FBI, it's all concerning Hunter Biden. So I just thought this was interesting. He even says, Perry says, well, off the topic here. Here we go.
Just have a couple more questions for you. A little off topic here, but I think it's interesting. How long was your recent interview with the FBI, and was it a deposition?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're referring.
Are you saying that you have not had a recent interview with the FBI since becoming Secretary of State?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, and I'm happy to take that up with you offline.
Did the State Department turn over documents to the FBI related to Hunter Biden, Burisma, and or the Blue State Strategies Corporation?
You'll have to.
So you have no knowledge of this. You have had no. You don't. You are you saying you have not had an interview with the FBI since becoming Secretary of State?
It would not be appropriate for me to comment in a public forum on any legal proceedings that the department.
I'm not asking you to comment on the legal proceedings. I'm just asking if you've been interviewed by the FBI since becoming Secretary of State.
Again, I'm not going to comment one way or another on any legal proceedings or not that may or may not have happened.
Have you sought to-
let me remind the gentleman that the topic of this hearing is Afghanistan. That's what we'll.
I appreciate it, Mr. Chairman, but the Secretary generally refuses to answer questions about Afghanistan, so I just figured we'd talk about something he should be intimately familiar with.
Ouch!
Burn. Man, that's got to hurt.
Well,
talk about something else.
Wait a minute. If the Democrats are saying if the Democratic chairman is saying, hey, look, you need to stick to Afghanistan, then that topic that he must be going to, they must be extremely worried about.
Because
the Democrats would do anything to get off of Afghanistan.
Well, I love it. You know, you combine that with, of course, the way that Blinken was going, you know, I didn't see that coming, but it was a pleasant surprise. It clearly wasn't expected that Blinken would answer the question, but it also wasn't expected that he would answer questions about Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, exactly. So
you know, I mean, then why not? And that's what it comes down to. I would answer the same way.
But that was my first thought. I'm like, if the chairman is saying this discussion is only supposed to be in Afghanistan.
Exactly.
What do they know that I don't know?
Well, and I would have answered the chairman's concerns in the same way. Well, he's not talking about Afghanistan. I thought we'd talk about something else, like Hunter Biden. Wow. And it, by the way, a very simple question. It wasn't, hey, what did you tell the FBI? It wasn't, is there going to be an indictment on Hunter Biden? It was, were you interviewed by the FBI? Yeah. Starting with a very basic question.
I'm thinking here, it's September 14th. We're getting almost, we're a week from the end of summer, and we were told that sources say, where is Durham? We may be getting a report, remember, by the end of summer.
Right.
I just thought of that now.
Right.
when you brought up Hunter Biden, I just said, oh, wait a minute, the Durham report.
Mm.
Could that be coming out any day? The Democrats are in such bad shape that they're probably going, please, let's get the Durham report out there so we can have people thinking about something else besides Afghanistan. You just can't win. You just can't win. There is no place that you can win on Afghanistan. I know they're trying to go back to the whole thing that, well, this was Trump saying that was already debunked. Democrats debunked it. Liberal media debunked that already.
Yeah, right.
It was Biden who back in April said, oh, we're going to have troops out. We've set the date September 11th.
Mm.
So he could have his own celebration, which it didn't end up being that we've ended the war. That didn't work out well for them, did it?
It was such a celebration that his would-be victory that he didn't even speak on that day.
Yeah, because he
couldn't.
It's such a mess. Let's head to you. We go to June in Holland, Michigan. June, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, say, I'm still thinking about the Blinken non-answers. Why do we let them get away with no answer? And why do we let them even mention the name of Trump? This is 2021. You people are in charge. Why do we let the man make such stupid non-answers?
Well, you know, we said that earlier. We would ask questions in a different way. I wouldn't sit there and say this
you
is
have
the time.
To craft your questions the right way.
Yeah, I would, and sometimes you. I'm sorry, but sometimes members of the Republican House just don't do it right. You would hope that members of the Senate, when Blinken is before the Senate, that they would ask better questions. I think that I would ask quick questions. All right, fine. So you didn't. So you didn't. I'm asking about the transcript. He doesn't answer it. You interrupt. I'm not talking about the general.
Right.
I'm talking about.
Right.
And I will say this: that I'll play that part because Representative Best, he did say, I'm talking about the transcript, and he just didn't answer.
Right,
so you
right.
got out that he was attempting right. to avoid it. I'll see if I can find that audio coming up. But he spent a lot, and I understand why he did. He held up every sign of every soldier that was killed.
Right.
And kept asking the same questions over and over again. But I think that you have to, not saying that that wasn't appropriate, because it absolutely was appropriate, but this is where you need to organize with other Republicans and come out strongly and say, okay, I'm going to do this. You're going to do this.
They have done that. They have done that at times in the past, and I think that's something you have to do. You also have to almost take a prosecutor's approach.
Yeah.
In doing that, when you're asking the questions, and remember that it's not about you. It is about serving the American people and getting the answers that you want, and not in so many words. You don't expect them to just boom blatantly answer the question verbatim. You should never expect that to happen. What you do is you craft your questions to where you're walking them into a corner. I think probably one decent example was that line of questioning about Hunter Biden, because if the answer were no, if Blinken had not been deposed by the FBI or interviewed by the FBI, then he would say, no, I haven't been interviewed by the FBI. And that's all I'm going to say about that situation, but I have not. And if the answer were no, he would have said no. And so you have to, I talked about it for a living. Yeah. We have to wade through all the mud to find the remnants of the truth quite often.
Well, on the transcript that had come out of what the president said to the former president of Afghanistan, mm-hmm. When he said, hey, we need to basically craft, I'm paraphrasing here, but we need to craft a narrative, whether it's based on the truth or not, mm-hmm. on what's going on the ground, which
right.
means we need to lie. If what he needed to say is this transcript true? And once he spoke for 10 seconds, excuse me, you're not answering the question. I'm simply asking you, is this transcript true or not true? And then when he doesn't answer it, give him 5 seconds, say, you're not answering my question. I need a yes or no, since you seem not to answer the question, is this transcript true? He never would answer, and that's where you do it as a prosecutor. You act like a prosecutor. I'm asking you a specific question. You're evading the question. Is this transcript true or not? Is it partially true? But I would like you to answer yes or no, partially true or not, and then you can continue with your explanation. I'll let you have the explanation, but tell me whether it's true or not. And as soon as they get off it, you hit them over and over and over again. Now, he still came across as evading it if you were watching it. And the American public understands that this administration has been lying and evading about what happened in Afghanistan. But the fact is, you still have that moment. And at that moment, I think you're expected to, when questioning somebody like this, do whatever you can to get to the truth.
Well, that's it. I mean, you have to be very persistent and don't let them start a narrative without going straight to, because when you get to the yes or no's, if you can phrase it that way, if you can craft your question to where it is a very basic and a very basic beginning, this is where I would say with Rand Paul and Fauci, they went back and forth as doctors, and then it came down to, you know, splitting the hairs on the definition of gain of function. But I, if it were me, I would have said, okay, look, forget the fact that I am a doctor. Let's just attack it as from a layman's perspective. Were we funding any kind of manipulation of the virus? Yes or no?
Right.
That's, in order to enhance it. In other words, we don't care about the definition of gain of function. We care about the activities, the behavior inside that lab, and what role we took. So you have to, I think, if you're crafting that question, then you have to quite often end it in a yes or no answer only, and then accept yes or no only, and you have to stop them if they go on a tangent.
Because this would be the thing. Well, your definition of gain of function is you're looking at gain of function. That gain of function is manipulating a human virus to make it more dangerous.
Right.
Speaking in lay terms.
Right.
And that's what you say gain of function is. Other doctors disagree with you. I disagree with you. But let's state that that's the definition of gain of function. Mm-hmm. Let's move over here. This may not be what you call gain of function, but did the United States use taxpayer dollars to take a virus that only was transmitted through animals and then was made transferable to human beings? This evidence says, yes, it is. I need to know, did we do that? You can call that gain of function. I'll call this gain of function. Did you do this? And then, because that's what we all thought gain of function was to begin with.
Right.
And so when Fauci was coming out and saying, that's not gain of function, that's not gain of function, we didn't do gain of function, you were thinking that he was accusing Rand Paul of lying.
Right.
Well, Rand Paul wasn't lying. They were just using definitions. And as we found out, other doctors said, no, some doctors said, no, Fauci is right for the definition of gain of function. Some are saying, no, that Rand Paul is right for the definition of gain of function. We'll take the definition out of it. You say it's this.
It's not about what you call it.
Right. It's not what you call it. It's what you did. So you're saying you didn't do that. You didn't take human virus and make it more dangerous, but you took animal viruses that could not be passed on to human beings. And now it can be passed on to human beings, which means it became more dangerous to human beings.
Yes.
Am I wrong on that?
Right. Exactly.
And that's what you leave Fauci with to make him answer the question about what they actually did.
Exactly.
And then the report that came out this week, they said, see, it proves gain of function. And I went, well, you still disagree on the definition.
Right. And again, because then you get into whatever the definition of this is or that is, and that's not the point. It is what was going on in the lab. And in this case, you know, if you're looking for answers about Afghanistan and how we got to the point that we did, Secretary of State is going to have intimate knowledge. I would be shocked if he wasn't on that phone call, because they're heavily populated. And I would be shocked if he were not. But even if he weren't, he would have a transcript quite likely and be quite aware of that. And we're talking about the phone call of the then president of Afghanistan and President Biden, where Biden was on July 23rd, where Biden was basically saying, hey, we need to lie. Things aren't great, but we need to paint a picture as if they are.
And if he answer is, I can't answer that question because it's top secret. Well, at least you got him to say that.
Right.
But don't let him avoid the – make him answer the question in some manner or form and stop him in the first 5 seconds if you know he's trying to filibuster.
Right. Because when he doesn't say no, that gives you some indication of where we are.
Exactly. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Did you know that up to half of all major engine failures are due to poor cooling system maintenance? That's a lot of downtime and can cost drivers big. You expect a lot from your engine, which is why the cooling system must be a part of your maintenance routine. Here's a tip to keep your cooling system in shape and your engine running smooth. Have the system properly flushed whenever the coolant is changed. Over time, contaminants from seals, oil, and fuel are released into the system and must be removed. And remember, flushing the system with the right coolant mix and water dilution is crucial. If you have cooling questions or need an expert to help flush your system, find a TA Truck Service Center near you.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hardy, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So, yeah, that's the one thing. And when people say, well, we're getting off Afghanistan, well, of course, because there's other topics. And we knew that the whole topic of 9-11 and just the network coverage of it overall and the focus in sporting events and everything else, that it would take us off Afghanistan. I don't see what takes you off it for a while, because it's coming back now. There's a story about all the green card holders,
right.
Legal permanent residents of the United States.
Well, as we said, a humanitarian crisis that will remain for quite some time,
right? Yeah. And so you still have over 100 American citizens, and that's the figure we're getting from the State Department. Who knows whether they're lying to us about that
exactly,
or not?
Exactly. Right.
You had senators yesterday talking about that there are thousands of legal permanent residents of the United States also left over there in Afghanistan. So it's not going to go away anytime soon.
No.
And if China does take over the air base over there or the airport over there, that's going to be a bigger news. But still, as long as there are Americans over there, the story isn't going to go away.
No, it's not. It's not. Will it be every story, every segment on every channel? No. But long term, the reason, there are several reasons why Afghanistan will remain a story. And again, we just pointed some out. But beyond that, the threat, the very real threat from that, the terrorists aren't going to remain quiet because they don't. You know, they're not going to sit there and say, well, we need to remain quiet because we could get some negative news coverage from the liberal media. They're going to act at some point. They see this as leverage. They feel empowered by all of this, whether it's the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or all the above. They are going to reach outside the borders of Afghanistan. And you can bet right now they were already, and they're always planning attacks, but they're already planning an attack, I'm sure, if not several, around the world on Western interests, because they feel empowered. They feel like this is a victory, and they want another victory. It's not just a victory over the U.S. It's a victory, they see it, over a U.S. president. And that is a huge, huge leveraging factor for our enemy. And I think right now it's just about when, not if.
denounces violence. We're doing our part. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, I got an audio cut here, a little extended audio cut from Representative Brian Mast, though this is yesterday, questioning or making more of a statement, not that he didn't question him, but more of a statement to Secretary of State Blinken.
Mr. Secretary, as the transcript, the leaked transcript, as you referred to it, says, did the President Biden work with the coward exiled president of Afghanistan to manipulate the intelligence about the Taliban?
What the president said to President then-President Ghani in private is exactly what he said in public, that the issue was not whether Afghanistan had the capacity to withstand the Taliban. It's whether it had the will and the plan to do so.
Very quickly here, you notice he didn't answer the question.
No, he did not.
Okay, then we continue here. So.
Saying the transcript is a lie. It's false.
That plan.
It's incorrect.
To bring people together
in
unity.
Saying it's false, it's a lie, it's incorrect. He did not work to tamp down the intelligence on the Taliban.
Absolutely not.
So the transcript is incorrect. That's your testimony today.
The intelligence that we had, we've already discussed at some...
See, he didn't answer the question again. He won't answer the question about
because it was posed in a yes or no.
Right.
And he didn't answer it.
At some length about what the assessments were of the Taliban and its capacity to take over the country.
I think that everybody looking for an explanation about what happened and how everybody got it so wrong, how your administration got it so wrong, needs to look at that as the most likely explanation, asking the president to manipulate the intelligence of what was actually going on with the Taliban. And I'm going to tell you the 13 families that deserve most to really hear the honest answers on that. It's these families. Marine Lance Corporal Kareem Nakui, his family deserves to truly know that. Marine Corporal Dagan Page, his family truly deserves to know if that's why they are missing their son, because intelligence was manipulated. Marine Lance Corporal Riley McCollum, 20, wife expecting their first child. Sister said he was going to be the best dad ever. They deserve to know if that's what happened and that's why everything went so wrong. Marine Sergeant Nicole Gee, 23 years old. You can see her there holding a young child. Her family deserves to know if that's why everything went so wrong, because that intelligence was manipulated. Marine Lance Corporal David Espinoza, just 20 years old. Family deserves to know if that's why everything went so wrong, is because the intelligence was manipulated. Marine Corporal Humberto Sanchez, just 22 years old. Mother said, my kid was a hero. That's what was said. That's what his mother said. Deserves to know if that's why everything went so wrong, because the intelligence got manipulated. Marine Lance Corporal Jared Smits, just 20 years old. Family deserves to know if that's why everything went so wrong. Marine Corporal Hunter Lopez, just 22, son of two sheriffs, planned to follow in their footsteps. Their family deserves to know if that's why everything went so wrong, is because you all worked to manipulate the intelligence of what was going on the ground there. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover, his family said, I love you, son. Check in on us. We will try to make you proud. They deserve to know if that's what happened, if that's how everything went so wrong in Afghanistan. Marine Corps Sergeant Johanny Rosario Picardo, family deserves to know if that's why everything went so wrong, because you all worked to manipulate the intelligence of what was going on with the Taliban. Marine Lance Corporal Dylan Marola, just 20. Family said he always had a smile on his face, was the kindest person. They deserve to know if that's why everything went so wrong, because you all manipulated intelligence. Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Canals, the ultimate honor he could give was to give back to his country. He would not be sorry. He would not regret it. That's what his family said. They deserve to know if you manipulated intelligence, if President Biden manipulated intelligence, and that's what led to everything going so wrong. Navy Corpsman Maxton Soviak, just 22. His family deserves to know if that's why everything went so wrong. We deserve hearings on what's going on with that leaked transcript. We deserve to know why there are others that remain in Afghanistan. Mark Frerix, Navy veteran, disappeared in Coast Province January 30 of 2020. We deserve to know what's going on with his release. These are things that have to be answered for. I do not believe whatsoever what you're saying about the administration not working to manipulate that intelligence. To me, that is the most logical the most logical explanation of how so many in the intelligence community got this so wrong about what was going to happen in Afghanistan, why it would seem somehow logical for President Biden to leave the, quote, most advanced military weaponry, why some would not speak out against that if they were getting the false intelligence because it was coming from the top down to manipulate it. In my opinion, that's absolutely aid and comfort to the enemy. I absolutely wonder if you were complicit in this as well. I find it hard to believe that President Biden would do that without you being aware of this. And these are things that we deserve to know better answers, have better hearings on this. I do not believe a word that you're saying on this.
So there you go. Now, the only thing I would have done different, and I understand he had all the pictures there with him of all the soldiers that had that died in the attack, and so I understand why he did that. But the fact is, you had him not answering a question, and I would go back. Somebody should have taken 5 minutes. Dan, I'm not asking you what the general policy is, what you believe the general policy is. I'm asking you, is this transcript true? Did the president say this? Yes or no?
Right.
And when he goes on, excuse me, and I would continue for 5 minutes,
yep,
and say, see, here's the one question, yes or no, over and over, because that's the key. That's the key right there that the president was lying to the American public. I understand the emotion of the people that died, but somebody has to show what this administration is about. Make them answer a question, because even if he doesn't answer the question, if you spend 5 minutes on it saying you're not answering my question, I need a yes or no. I'm not asking you what you believe the overall plan was between the president. I'm asking you, is this transcript true? Yes or no, or you can only talk about it in a top secret session.
Right.
Those are the answers. Those are the answers that I want out here. And then ask it again. Is the transcript true? And make him answer it, or at least be directed to clearly not answer the question.
Right. Essentially refuse.
Right. And so you do it for 5 minutes straight. Somebody should have done that yesterday. And it's almost as if they only have 5 minutes, so they want to get in everything that they have to say. But in this particular case, you're not a talk show host. At that point, your job is to get an answer, whether it's an acceptable or not answer, to focus in on everything to get an answer to that question. Is this transcript true?
And because when you stop him over and over again on a yes or no, anytime he varies from the answer, and you do that for 5 minutes, at some point, he's going to fail. At some point, he's going to show his cards.
Yeah.
That's the only way that can play out. Over 5 minutes is a long time.
It is, because you can ask that question 15 times.
Yes,
in 5 minutes, because yep, you cut them off after 5 or 10 seconds. You're not answering
is
the question.
Transcript true or not? Not?
Right. That's the question I'm asking.
It's yes or no.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give him the third. I'd let him figure out that third,
yes,
on
right,
his own. I can only answer that in
right.
You know, because the. Because the transcript was leaked, I cannot say whether it was true or not.
Right.
In this session.
Right.
But he didn't do that.
No, he didn't.
But it's like they take 30 seconds, 45 seconds, like, okay, I'm going to move on to the next thing. Well, you didn't make him answer the question.
No.
And by the way, not answering the question, you're getting the answer to your question.
Yes, of course. That's how that's going to play out. And I don't know, again, I don't know how many more opportunities they're going to have, Republicans, to get to this as soon as possible. That conversation that happened on July 23rd is imperative. It is imperative that the American people understand the nature of that conversation, and that is that you had a president that was asking another foreign leader who presided over a nation where Americans were living, and still are, asking him to lie about what was going on the ground. And while the message that is sent to people outside of Afghanistan is certainly important. The Americans that were and some still are in Afghanistan were left to believe, because of the lie, that they were not in danger, that the Taliban was not making ground, that there was not an imminent threat. He was going out of his way to craft a story and asking for the president, then president of Afghanistan, to tell the same lie, which would be sent, of course, the message to the American people that were in Afghanistan. We're not talking about service members. We're talking about American civilians, American citizens, to lead them to believe that they were okay. They didn't have to make preparations to get out of the way of that danger.
Remember, it was Reuters who came up with the story.
The transcript.
Mm-hmm. And as he wrote about the perception problem, quote, "I need not tell you the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban." That's a quote from Biden. "And there is a need, whether it is true or not, there is a need to project a different picture," end of quote.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And by the way, I would bring up that quote to begin with and ask, is that part of the transcript true? And then when he doesn't answer it, is that part of the transcript true? Did the president say that?
Right.
And if he says, "I don't know," then fine, I don't know.
Right.
And if we find out he was on the phone call, we know he was lying then.
Right.
I don't know what's so hard for Republicans to ask the right question over and over again. It gets frustrating when it's right there in front of you. It's clear what the important part. That's it. I mean, that's it right
that's
there.
It. That's it.
Right that's there. That's yeah. As clear as you can get of evidence right now of deceit from the president to the American public.
Yeah.
Nobody is denying that he said it.
No.
Notice that.
They're not saying
no. One is denying
they're not saying,
it.
No, he didn't say that. That didn't happen. The conversation is untrue. You didn't hear that. The transcript is inaccurate or untrue. You didn't hear that. I mean, if it were me and my administration and the Reuters story hit and it wasn't true, man, I would be on every single day. I would be at that podium dismissing it and proving it to be untrue. Have you heard that? No. You haven't.
Biden then told Ghani that if Afghanistan's prominent political figures were to give a press conference together backing a new military strategy, quote, "that will change perception and that will change an awful lot, I think," end of quote.
Mm-hmm. Lie. From a known liar who got his first job offer at a Boise lumber company.
Well, and the problem is there, and there is a need, whether it is true or not, there is a need to project it.
Whether it
picture.
Is true or not, the truth doesn't matter.
Right.
It never has to Joe Biden.
So if we have to lie, we lie. That's the problem the president has with that, which is why Republicans need to pound on that over and over again. And to me, they didn't sufficiently yesterday, because that's the key to everything.
And when are you going to get the next chance to do it?
Don't know.
That's the question. You have
Senate.
To assume you won't.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll get one, but you have to assume this is always your last shot, your last effort.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. When you think about it, you know, because I was just telling you that, you know, as you get older as a talk show host, I mean, when you're younger, you're thinking, "Oh, I'm talking about the adults up there," and now I'm older than all of them, including Blinken. And you look and you go, "What idiots!" Think about this. He was also Deputy National Security Advisor, Deputy Secretary of State under Obama.
Mm-hmm.
During the Clinton administration, was in the State Department, served in the National Security Council, senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and he's an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. You think, you know, I guess a lot of people get the idea that, oh, my gosh, they must be extremely intelligent. That's not the case. Not always the case. There may be a few left. But it's just, and then beyond that, how dishonest they
are. Well, let me ask you this. Due to the fact that he advocated for the invasion of Iraq in 2003, and now you see his position now, is he just a tool of Biden? Does he actually believe all this stuff? And is that why he hesitates so much? Or is he really just an idiot because he has lied for this administration?
Right, and continues to do so.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Get our app, put it on your phone, listen when you want to, because our show is our podcast, and our podcast is our radio show. So we make it very easy and convenient for you. All right, you ready for this?
All right.
They cut him off again. Here is Biden speaking yesterday. Believe it or not, the White House cut him off as he was talking about wildfires.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
One of the things that I've been working on with some others is...
There it is.
That's just where it ended.
Cut him off. Thank you for joining. Now, here's a question that I have. Did they just cut him off because he went off script? Because he went ad lib and decided to ask a question? Or did they cut him off because everything is tape delayed that they send out? And so they knew that he did something stupid. I have to ask that question, being in, I guess, digital delay is what it's called today. It's not tape delay. But the fact that it's digital delay, and so they know 10 seconds before that he's going to say something stupid. But that would be out by now if they were tape delaying it, because somebody would have said, here's what he said, and it never got across, so he must be tape delayed.
Yeah, whoever was on site would know that.
Yeah, and because he was doing a wildfire briefing with other, you know, members from when he was, you know, talking about the fact when he tried to, you know, fill out an application to become Paul Bunyan. But he...
Yeah, he claims that he worked for a... Or he was offered a job at a Boise lumber company.
Right. They haven't been able to. They haven't
said,
been able to find that.
No, we went back in our records, and then the New York Post went digging and said he's never even mentioned wanting to move to Boise, as he claims.
Oh, and then didn't he throw in like a didn't even know it an insult?
Yeah,
basically at Idaho.
He goes, you know, my first wife and I, his now deceased wife. My wife and I wanted to move to Boise, and this is no joke, because it's a beautiful state. And I thought, well, why would you say this is no... What do you mean it's no joke?
It's a beautiful state.
It is a beautiful state. Why would you have to say it's no joke?
I've driven through it a few times. What a beautiful... My only complaint is I was never able to stay long enough.
Yeah.
I saw the blue field, though, the football
Did you?
Field.
Oh, right? Okay.
Yeah. When I actually went through Boise, I had to go see the blue football field.
Right, right.
Couldn't get in, though. I tried, like, when Rudy tried to get into Notre Dame Stadium. Tried to get in, but...
Tried to climb in? Did you try and break in?
I really didn't. I really didn't try. And I didn't get to see it, so...
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get into the season. But I tried. It was like...
Ever work for a lumber company there?
Well, you know, when right after my Navy SEAL days. No, wait a minute. I don't want to do that because you got in trouble already.
No, don't start that.
Somebody said, who was a Navy SEAL? Eric, thank you for your service. And Eric had to say, no. I was using that as an exaggeration of people who lie.
Yes, right. Now, compared to Biden, I don't know what kind of exaggeration I could use.
But they just remember, he's doing this is a briefing on wildfires. Yeah. Or, of course, it's global warming. Right. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, has already been debunked. Even the UN debunked that a couple of years ago. The wildfires are not being caused by global warming. Even the UN debunked it, and they're still on that line. Well, look.
Why would there ever be a need to cut him off? If there is any kind of feed that's going on, and he's appearing somewhere, he's speaking, every time he speaks, it's a positive. I mean, he won the election. People love him. He's the consoler in chief. There's never a reason to shut him down, to turn off the audio, to turn off the feed, ever. But they have something else to broadcast?
Yeah, they say the video was live broadcast from Boise.
Right.
So it was a live, not...
Yeah, live feed.
And if it was tape, if it was digitally delayed or tape delayed, as we call it, somebody there would have said, oh, here's what he said. That would have been on already.
Yeah, somebody reporter there would have said, this is what he went on to say and what you didn't see on the feed.
George Geisler, the National Association of State Foresters, had just granted the president permission to ask a question, and Biden began with, one of the things that I've been... working on with some others was all the viewers got to hear before the stream ended. In a similar instance last month, Biden's microphone cut out as he gave an answer to a question from the press. You and I remember that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what it was. In a briefing, NBC journalist Peter Alexander asked, if Americans are still in Afghanistan after the deadline, what will you do? Biden quipped, you'll be the first I call, but the White House had already cut off the video, and that was picked up. Remember, we found that out from the reporters.
Right.
But that was actually cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's interesting about this is that it's not a conspiracy theory. You guys are just trying to make something. We told you the story yesterday from Politico, which is a liberal organization that said, no, they cut him off.
Yeah.
The White House officials admitted, we have to cut him off, that we're basically scared to death if we let him ad-lib at all. If he goes off script at all, we absolutely panic. In fact, the source told Politico, a liberal news publication, that there are people that can't even watch him when he goes out in public because they're so afraid he's going to totally screw it up.
Yeah, right.
Wow. So when he says, they told me not to answer any questions, or they told me not to do this, he is actually responding to what he's been told by his advisors before he goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, by the way, I think you're right on that. I do think that he does the Izzy Mandelbaum revolt, where it's like, who are these kids telling me what to do?
Who are you to tell me? Yeah. I'm the president. I can answer questions.
And that's why.
What do you mean I can't answer questions?
But the best part is, and remember he said he's going to answer questions? I'm not supposed to do it, but I'll answer questions. And it was in Afghanistan. He goes,
I'm not going to
turn around and walked out. Turned around and walked out.
Yeah. Thought you were going to answer questions.
It's like he even understands he can't. There's a point in him. There's the Izzy Mandelbaum part of him. And by the way, if you don't know who Izzy Mandelbaum is, put it in Google and a Seinfeld episode will come up.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe the Izzy Mandelbaum comes out, and then he realizes it's come out and he can't answer the question. So he turns around and walks off. So it makes it even worse. The fact you say, I'll take a question. And the first question, you turn around and you walk out.
And by the way, why can't you answer a question on Afghanistan? You talked about it extensively.
You say it's a positive.
You say it's a positive.
Great thing for America.
You issued a statement. You spoke to the American people. You're not proud of that? There's not a question? Any question you can't answer? You should be, in fact, eager to talk about it and promote it. Yeah, it is. This is as bad as it gets. In presidential politics,
This is as bad as it gets. Man, this makes the whole Lewinsky thing look like nothing. And it wasn't nothing.
But I think that since everybody knows that he can't answer the questions, I think that Democrats, if you were to ask them privately, are totally pleased with the fact that it seems as if the White House advisors are keeping him under a leash, mm-hmm. that they're not letting him talk ad lib at all, that he sticks to it. And I think that most Democrats look at this and say, that's a good thing. I really do.
Yeah.
You don't hear any.
Yeah.
Do you hear any Democrat complaining about it?
No.
Any?
No. Nope.
You hear some in the media maybe complaining that he won't answer questions. Democrats don't care. Democrats know they can't defend Afghanistan. Democrats know that if you let Biden go on, he'll absolutely destroy any type of, you know, narrative that the White House is, you know, calculated narrative that the White House is trying to put out there.
Well, and again, you know, it is not, I think they don't, right now, they really don't have one straight narrative. Each of the narratives runs, you know, think about this on any of the issues. The narrative runs for the moment. You know what I mean? It's not one clear narrative. The only exception to what I just said was when they were talking about the Americans, the way that they were phrasing in Afghanistan, the Americans who wish to leave. That was, again, kind of a pre-narrative move. They kept using that phrasing because they wanted to use the narrative afterward that there are Americans that don't wish to leave, which is to say that there are Americans that are there that prefer to live under Taliban rule. And otherwise, you look at the narratives and they're all over the place. And why is that? Because the president isn't consistent. Because he doesn't have consistent thought. Because if you think about it, well, you really would have to think about it. Somebody would have to tell me what Joe Biden believes. This is a guy that's been around inside the Beltway for decades. What does he believe? And you look at a number of them, and you can go back to Clinton, who was good about looking at the polls, whichever way the polls went. And then even after office, you know, he was all of his signature moves. I signed it, but I wish I hadn't. And he was a guy that just went with whatever the public sentiment was. And Biden is that way in some ways. But what does he really believe? Who is he? And what has been the consistent narrative from Joe Biden, from the Biden administration? They're not consistent. And it's because he's not. Because he can't be. He doesn't have the ability of consistent thought for whatever reason. He just doesn't. And I think it's more and more obvious to not just the American people, but the American media.
The only consistency would be in his stubbornness to stick on a narrative when it isn't viable to stay on that narrative and to continue lie about it. When you think about it, the two that and his and
that goes back to his Izzy Mandelbaum syndrome. Yeah,
the Izzy, you know, Mandelbaum
which
syndrome,
which is a trait, really.
Which is Trump is to blame. For example, the border. He couldn't sell that to the American people. The American public didn't buy it, and now he's trying to do the same thing in Afghanistan. Even as recently as yesterday, Democrats in the House Foreign Relations Committee, when they were talking with Blinken, were doing the exact same thing as Blinken was doing. Basically, they were completely helpless because of what Trump set up. Everybody knows that's a lie. It's already been discounted. The liberal media even completely and totally blew that out of the water.
Right.
And they're still sticking with it. It's if that stubbornness has now gone to the Democrat Party, because that's, I don't know if it's stubbornness or it's just panic because it's the only thing that they have left.
Well, I think it's desperation. But it doesn't, again, it doesn't support the narrative. It doesn't support a consistent thought based on what the president actually believes. It only demonstrates that characteristic of who he is now, and that is somebody who is willing to debate and argue and fight anybody and everybody right now.
866-90-RED-EYE.
That's the sound of the rain coming from Tropical Storm Nicholas falling over the middle and upper Texas coast, moving north and east, possibly bringing 8 to 16 to 20 inches of rain. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says Nicholas could produce
severe to possibly catastrophic flooding from Corpus Christi northward through the Houston area and perhaps eventually as far north as Lake Charles, Louisiana.
All mostly high population areas, but Rippey says there is some agriculture in areas where Nicholas is passing. Rice, for example, luckily over 80% has been harvested already. Cotton, a little different story.
Harvesting is underway in the middle Texas coast area, and there could be some impacts on cotton as the heavy rain and gusty winds soak some of the cotton that remains in the field there.
Also, western Louisiana sugarcane harvesting could be hit. Also, there are some livestock operations that could be in for some severe flooding. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. I want to play an audio cut from last week. We're still trying to catch up. I know we're to Tuesday this week.
Yeah.
There were some things that we missed end of last week on Bill Maher. He went after the NFL for their move to play before some games this past weekend, the first weekend, the Black National Anthem, and here was his response.
One national anthem. I think when you go down a road where you're having two different national anthems, colleges sometimes now have, many of them have different graduation ceremonies for black and white, separate dorms. This is what I mean, segregation. You've inverted the idea. We're going back to that under a different name.
There you go.
Yeah, well, and that's something we've been talking about for a long time. And yet, they still insist on doing that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the NFL, and people, you could see if you were watching any of the games this week, some of the players had Black Lives Matter on their helmet. Mm-hmm. They were allowed to put that and racism, but it's all a part, as we know, the NFL's capitulation and Roger Goodell's office capitulation to the racist Black Lives Matter and the lies about police departments across the country, that police departments are systemically racist. The NFL was one of the first, along with the NBA, to buy into that lie to promote racial divisiveness and racial hatred. And they should be reprimanded for that. They should be criticized for that because what they are doing, what the NFL has done, is absolutely immoral. And the worst thing is they try to sell and enable racism by claiming it's anti-racism, as the true racists in our society are now doing.
Hmm.
And that's reprehensible for the NFL to be doing it. And I'm just amazed that no owner has come up and said, this is just ridiculous. They believe that they can't fight. They still believe in the NFL and probably in the NBA that they can't fight the racist wall that exists from the liberals. Still, there are certain areas where they can't object to it. But are we surprised? The Democratic Party is the party of identity politics. They separate based on skin color, based on sexuality.
Again, this is something we've been talking about.
Yeah,
look,
for years.
Why more people don't point this out and don't see it? It took long enough for Bill Maher to point it out, but this has been building for quite some time. It was inevitable it would get to this point. Here's your forecast.
The National Hurricane Center has upgraded Nicholas to hurricane status after maximum sustained winds increased to near 75 miles an hour. Storm surge will continue to cause flooding along the Texas coast. Heavy rainfall is impacting portions of Texas and later Louisiana, with some areas set to receive 16 inches, possibly more, of rainfall. Widespread flash flooding is certain across the region. Check on current conditions if you'll be driving into the area. Even major interstates like I-10 east and west and I-45 north and south will be impacted. Elsewhere in Texas, from about Dallas northward, there's little chance of showers today. Moving eastward into Arkansas, Mississippi, the lower Tennessee Valley will pick up a chance for showers. Thunderstorms in the Midwest will extend from central Illinois into northern Indiana and southern Michigan. Warmer than average temperatures across the lower 48. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Bringing people together, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So you had that international group of scientists yesterday, along with the two FDA advisors who are quitting. I think in October and November, the Biden administration are resigning their positions because they disagree, and they say that too much politics have gone into the booster. They put out a paper yesterday stating the same thing, that there is not yet enough evidence that all the vaccines apparently they claim at the moment from their research that they know, right. And everything's at the moment, of course. In all of this, they believe provides plenty of protection for the average person out there. And I don't know if that means if you have underlying conditions. I don't know specifically on that. And they said the other thing is that even if your antibody count is down, if the T cells, and I forgot the other one, the B cells or whatever, that they still have been juiced up by the vaccine, and so they're ready to quickly produce antibodies, and therefore you're still very well protected. And they have said they don't believe that as of right now that for normal people that vaccines are necessary. It's interesting, though, because
the boosters are necessary.
What I say, right. the booster, the boosters are necessary. So I just find that really interesting that they're resigning over the difference of we think boosters. Now, and they're saying, well, no, we don't believe boosters now. That doesn't seem to me to be something to resign over. It would seem like there's something more serious that they're finding, because they're claiming that they're resigning because of the politics in it. I just wonder precisely what led to it.
Well, I mean, I could see it, because if they say that it is ignoring the science that we have, the information that we have, the data that we have, and going forth anyway with it stops short of a mandate, but it basically is a guidance not based on what the FDA would normally recommend.
Well, the thing is, though, because the head of the CDC, I mean, they backed off about a week ago too on it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So it looked like they were doing they're doing a reevaluation. What led to the resignations? I could see if they mandated it and then they resigned, but they have seemed to resign over the politics in it. Has there been has there been a consistent pounding of politics that they believe is coming out of the Biden administration that just isn't on this, but has been a variety of different issues over the last couple of months? I guess that would be the question that I'm asking, if they're resigning because they believe there's too much political push.
I think it's reasonable to say that it is. We can't work in an environment when our job is to recommend based on the data that we have
and the work that we have done, and the administration is hell bent on pushing a narrative for different reasons. That would be enough for me, certainly. And it, in fact, it makes me wonder if we might see other resignations, not from the FDA, but within the administration in regards to this kind of approach where it doesn't matter. It's his way or the highway.
Well, I'd like to see what other things might have led up to this. I guess that would be interesting to find out. Okay, was it just one? Because they haven't said it. They haven't put out the ultimate guidance yet. So if and so what is it? I mean, is it just the one thing? Is it five different things? It would be interesting to get a get an interview with those people, and I hope that somebody does, so they can say, hey, here's the problem that we have. Because if you're going to speak out and you think that politics is leading on this, and we know politics is leading on a lot of this, then I want to know. I want to know precisely what you have to say.
It's a strong tell that you have two people at the FDA who were in charge of approvals that are leaving now. And it's not just one. And the story that got out, and the fact that the story got out as to why, I think is a huge tell. And it could be a list of reasons. I'm with you. I'm curious to find out everything. And will either or one of these individuals, will either or both of these individuals talk about the process. But we can look at this administration every single day, and their methods, their tactics are all about what? Painting a false picture. Doing something that only serves this president politically. And when you bring people into the fold like that, if that is the case at the FDA during a pandemic, the people especially that are in that position, then my gosh, I mean, what won't you do? And I'm wondering if we might see, again, more resignations here. It's quite possible that we won't. But if this keeps up, who's going to want to stay? There's 3.5 more years of this. And I'm telling you right now, I just wouldn't want to be a part of it. There's turnover in every administration. But, I mean, this is really bad. Everywhere you look, every turn, tell me what issue isn't right now plaguing this administration.
Well, when you see, for example, we had a caller earlier that was talking about conservative, but said we should not be politicizing COVID. And as we have stated, but when you have a government that continually lies to you, it's going to become political, because people don't, if they don't believe, if they realize you're a pathological liar, and they don't trust you on anything.
Right.
Then the viral video came out, the director of marketing and a doctor who served on a medical staff of a hospital, or was it in North Carolina, talking about what information related to coronavirus the hospital shares with the public. One doctor said she feels the hospital's messaging leads to be a little bit more scary for the public. She tells the marketing director the hospital should provide information to the public about post-COVID-19 hospitalizations, which the hospital was defining as recovered, even though they were still hospitalized, the video said. The social media outrage surrounding the suggestion, as many saw it, was proof of conspiracy theories about how health officials deliberately inflate COVID-19 numbers. And, again, that's the, that's like I said, that's the problem that you have. Everything gets, with social media today, everything gets amplified. Everything.
Yeah, right.
Now, on the vaccine mandate, this from Politico, again, a liberal publication, not a conservative. President Joe Biden's surprise order for the Labor Department to issue mandatory vaccine rules for large companies was already facing headwinds from businesses, conservative governors, and even his union allies. Management side attorneys say they are fielding frenzied calls from companies with questions over what the rules requiring them to verify that their workers are vaccinated or tested weekly for COVID will actually entail, and whether the business or unvaccinated employees will have to pay for the testing.
Right. I mean, because if it's going to be that there's going, you know, the choice is the weekly test instead of the vaccine, well, who pays for that?
Yep. Unions have been treading a fine line over the new policy, arguing that workers and labor should have a say in any vaccine mandate policy. And some Republican governors say they plan to challenge the mandate. All of this underscores how difficult it will be for the administration to quickly implement a sweeping policy that will affect some 80 million private sector workers. Quote, I think this redefines ideas are simple, execution is hard, said attorney Michael Liotto, who represents a business law firm. What we have right now is chaos because of the unintended consequences of making such an announcement where there is no clarity with respect to our gargantuan number of questions that have been left open. The new emergency rules were announced Thursday as part of a new six-part effort of Biden to increase the vaccination rate. The rules, which will be fleshed out by administration officials, will be the first federal COVID-19 specific safety mandates to impact everyday workplaces. The emergency temporary standard will require companies with more than 100 workers to verify that their workforce is vaccinated or get tested weekly for COVID-19. Employees or employers who break the rules could face fines of $14,000 per violation, the White House has said. But even Politico looks at it and they go, well, this could be a nightmare. And plus, the bureaucratic process of getting the rulemaking actually done is another whole thing. That's how the sausage is made. Huh. And the sausage that made when it comes to rulemaking sometimes can take weeks, months, and even years.
Well, and then let's just say you do get it into place. Let's go to the point of now employers, those who qualify, that have 100 or more employees, are now required to do the first level of enforcement, are they not? Because otherwise, what would you have? OSHA reps walking in every day? Well, no, the employer is going to be faced with that. They're going to be the ones burdened with the first step of enforcement. Did you test? Yes. Is it negative? Yes, it is negative. Prove it. And then, did you get vaccinated? Yes. Prove it. Now you get into privacy issues because between the employer and the employee. So where is that going? How does that play out on a day-to-day basis? Because if it is something where, I'm going to be, we're not talking about a company deciding that, and there's plenty of questions when a company decides that too, if they're going to have a mandate as a matter of policy. We're talking about a rule, effectively a law. It is a rule under OSHA, but it would be. And it is essentially a law, the government enforcement of that. But the enforcement, the first stage of enforcement, would be on the employer. And how do you make that happen? What burden do you put on the employer? Does OSHA put on the employer to say, we need to see, not that you just asked them and they said yes or no, but that you made those employees prove it. Otherwise, there's no way to enforce it. And anything without an enforcement mechanism, a true enforcement mechanism, is meaningless. Worthless. I suspect the court is going to intervene long before we ever get to that point. But again, we're just talking about how thoughtless this whole thing is. And if you play this out, if you go all the way to this, you have to start with that first level of enforcement, and it's on the employer. And then the employer has to prove it to OSHA. Huh. It's not like OSHA walks in and says, okay, we're going to inspect the work site to make sure you don't have any frayed extension cords or broken ladders or whatever it might be, or that everybody's wearing a hard hat. No, we're getting into something very personal, and that will be impossible, I believe, ultimately to fully enforce.
866-90-RED-EYE.
There's a new Shell Rotella engine oil for gas engines. Shell Rotella Gas Truck is available now. Megan Pino, Shell Rotella Global Brand Manager, tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
Obviously, Shell Rotella's heritage is heavy-duty engine oil, and that will remain our heritage. And we know that our customers work hard, but they also love to play hard. And many of our customers also own a gasoline-powered pickup truck, SUV, and perhaps as a personal vehicle or as part of the business. We also know that truck owners use their trucks for different purposes than a car, to be able to tow something, whether that's an RV or a boat for fun on the weekend, for, you know, your business, for hauling equipment. So you're doing something different with your truck than you are with a car. And so why use the same motor oil that you would in your car as your truck? There are three viscosity grades, 0W20, 5W20, and 5W30, which covers any gasoline-powered pickup truck or SUV in terms of the manufacturer recommendations.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. I just asked you if you read that article in The Atlantic. I've read it here in the last day. I don't have her here with me at the moment. We might look at it in the next couple of days. But it's a story saying it's something that you asked a long time ago. You said, are they really doing the evaluation of people that are in the hospital? Because what they found, I think they were going through the VA system, and they said it's not, again, that's not inclusive of everybody.
Right.
But they went through some VA stuff where they have to ask all these questions, and they found out that people that are in the hospital now for COVID are younger. But the fact is the hospitalization, the actual number of people where COVID is actually serious, is less than it was a year ago.
Right. And why aren't we seeing more of the details in terms of the severity of each of those cases?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.